Good evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, and our text is going to be verses 1 and 2. I've titled this message, Precious is Our Righteous King. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He is with us. He is with His children all the time. He watches over us. He protects us. And if it's the Lord's will, may His Spirit come and be with us tonight, and may He open up these words to our hearts, and we are gathered together in His name. He says in Matthew, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there amidst among them. And in Psalms 115, we must always remember that it's not about us. It's always about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalms 115 says, Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name we give glory. For Thy mercy and Thy truth's sake. And over the purpose of God's chosen people to be here tonight is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And may He give us the eyes to see. Our King says in Psalms 2, Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And then in the center margin of my Bible, it says, Upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. You know, in verse 1 here in Isaiah 32, He says, Behold, that word means to rejoice. And God's people, and I have a tendency to forget this so much because of the world that I live in, the things that I face each and every day. But He says, Behold, that means to rejoice, to be happy, to be glad. Think about who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ. You know, all the blessings and promises that God has in His Holy Scriptures, they are for those that are in Christ. And when He speaks of wrath and darkness and sin, so is outside of Christ. And I thank God that it is our good hope that we are in Christ. And that good hope is not being presumptuous, but it's assurance of what this book right here says. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He came into this world to save sinners. And as I look in the mirror, that's all I see. And this book is absolute truth. But anyway, it says here the Holy Scriptures, and there it says our King is God. And there's a lot of people that will dispute that. But in other words, as our pastor said the other day, Jesus Christ is eternal. There never was a time when He was not. And there never will be a time when He will not be. And He has always watched over His sheep from eternity's past, and He always will. Through eternity's future. There'll never be a time, as I said, that the Lord will not be here for us. Our beloved King, the Lord Jesus Christ, He had no beginning and He'll have no end. Our Lord Jesus is sovereign in all things. That word means that He is not diminished in any way. He's total and complete. And when I think about that, what blesses my heart so much, I know that He is absolute sovereign in salvation. I don't have to worry about going out here and doing something and then I'm going to lose my salvation and then I'm going to have to go up and rededicate my life and go be baptized again. I've been through all that because I was in religion for quite a few years, you know. And He's absolute sovereign in creation. And then what blesses my heart too, and the hearts of His children, and they believe this word with all their heart because they know this is a mind, a heart, and a soul of God. This is how God speaks to us. We speak to Him through prayer, but He speaks to us through His Word, you know. And we know that He is absolute sovereign in providence. And that really blesses my heart because I know that everything in this world is under His control. It's not under man's control. It's under His control. And it always has been, and it always will be. And He's also absolute sovereign in the physical world. And then He's absolute sovereign in a spiritual world. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but life is two-dimensional. You know, there's a physical world that we see, things that we see, but there's a spiritual life going on all around us. and he's watching over his children, and he's protecting us. And what's good about that is to know that he has given us the faith of Christ, truly know, and to believe that with all of our hearts, and we do. And that gives us strength to face whatever we face, the hard times that we may face in this world, regardless of what may come my way. I truly believe it's by the providence of God. And if it's his will, so be it. I'm nothing. He's God. And he has that right. You know, but there's nothing that happens, as I said, without his permissive or directive will. In Matthew, our Lord Jesus said this. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That pretty well covers it all, doesn't it? All power. You know, the scripture says, behold, our King. As I said before, that word means to rejoice, to think about our King. You know, there's a lot of times in this life whenever we don't have the scriptures, but we may be out more in the yard or working or something. But, you know, whenever we have the Word of God in our heart, it blesses us to meditate, think about it. You know, to think about it, to meditate upon His Word and His promises to us. Because His promises, He'll never fail us. He will never fail us. He will never, ever fail us. And He will never break a promise. It's not good that I ever, as the preacher said this morning, it's not good that I ever make a promise. Because I very seldom can ever keep them. Man, sooner or later, I don't know if you know what eat crow means, but I've done that a few times. But, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, do we deeply believe in our hearts what the scriptures say about our King? You know, there's times in this flesh that we get weak. There's times that God seems very close to us, and we feel Him in our hearts. And then there are times that we get so caught up with things in this world, and we tend to forget who our King is. And He is precious, and He is always there. He is always with us. He's always with us. He's always with us. You know, something that I've done during my life, I've had quite a few surgeries, but every time they put that little cup over my nose, they say, start at count 20 and go back. I don't count 20 and go back. I say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want, because He's the one I'm trusting in. He's the one, it's not the doctors, but it's Him. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And we love Him. We thank Him. You know, one of the scriptures that blesses my heart so much when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's so many people that don't believe this, but, you know, a lot of people believe in God, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in a Jesus, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's got a lot of names. But one of my favorite places is Isaiah 9:6. Speaking of our King, the Lord Jesus, it says, unto us a child is born. God's people know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus. For unto us a son is given. The Lord Jesus Christ, He laid His life down for us. No one took His life. He laid it down for His people. A son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And listen to this. His name shall be called Wonderful. And it is. It is so wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. And it says of the government in peace, of His government in peace, there shall be no end. That blesses my heart when I think about that. In the book of Revelations, Jesus Christ, He is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He is the King of God's elect, but He is also King of every seed of Adam. There's so many people in this world that rejects Him and don't want nothing to do with Him. But that doesn't make you no less Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But for His people, He's their Savior. And it is by His precious blood that He shed on the cross at Calvary that He saved His people from their sins. He says, you know, we belong to Him. It says in 1 Corinthians, think about this, you know. A lot of times, a lot of people wouldn't like this right here, but it blesses my heart to know. He says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Why are we not our own? It says, For you were bought with a price, and we all know what that price was. It was the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Not only that, He is in us, but we are in Him. For it says here, in Him, we live and move and have our being. In Him. And it's been in 1 Corinthians verse 130. You know, we have nothing to offer God except cries of mercy. But it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of Him, that's the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. So it says it again. Who of God has made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Therefore, he goes on to say, therefore, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. We have no right to glory in anything else. He is our King, and not only do we belong to Him, but He belongs to us, as I said, and He reigns in absolute holiness. He reigns in absolute righteousness, and He reigns in absolute justice. He can do no wrong. He reigns over the universe, over the world, and over the church. And He is the Lord and the King because He made all things. Everything that we have in this life comes from Him. Everything that we have in this life belongs to Him. And if you will, hold your place here and turn to, it's a very familiar piece of scripture over to Colossians chapter 1. This is my heart to read certain scriptures over and over and over. Look at verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. How? Through His blood. What? Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image, speaking of Christ here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? I've been talking about Him being absolute sovereign in creation. It says in the physical world and also in the spiritual world, it says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And listen to this. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body. What is the body? The body is the church. That's the brethren. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that He might have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And now if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You know, it says in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. And He says that we are complete. When? We are complete in Christ. And I thank Him for that. But look here at the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. It says, God, who at some great times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But here in the half, in these last days, He has spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Listen to verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and the upholding of all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. The work was finished. He said on the cross, it is finished. The work of redemption. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, In verse 8 of that same chapter, if you look at verse 8, speaking of Jesus Christ our Lord, our righteous King, he says, "But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom." And I thank him so much for that. You know, our King, our God, come into this world of a virgin woman by the power of the Holy Spirit to save his people from their sins. You know, the angels told Mary, said, "You'll have a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people." He didn't say he'd save the whole world. He said he shall save his people from their sins. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, that God's law was honored and that his justice was satisfied. God's word says in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That's precious. We'll go back to our text here in Isaiah 32, verse 1. It says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Are these his faithful prophets, his apostles, his evangelists, his pastors, his teachers?" I know in Ephesians 4:11, it says, 11 and 12, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, some teachers." And then a king must have princes under him as officers by whom he may act. In our text again, it says in verse 32, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place in the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Says here that a man should be as a hiding place from the wind. Who's this man that we're talking about? We're talking here about the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, speaking in 1 Timothy 3:16, it's hard to imagine that the Lord of glory walked on this earth. But it says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He preached unto the Gentiles. And he believed on in the world. And he was received up into glory. And a man shall be a hiding place." This man was promised and he was prophesied. This man, the God-man, Jesus Christ our Lord, was prophesied from the beginning, when Adam sinned in the garden. God said in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here is the first promise in the Scriptures of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed of a woman. You know, all that are born into this world comes from the seed of man, except for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was born of a Virgin Mary in the power of the Spirit of God. In Isaiah 7:14, our Lord said, "Therefore, the Lord himself should give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And that was in Isaiah. And hundreds of years later in Matthew, God's word says, "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And only in Christ are we sheltered from God's wrath. There's no other way. Only in Christ are we sheltered from his wrath. It says here in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. And when he says, believe upon the Son, he's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's spoken of in the Scriptures here. But he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son of God hath not life. And you don't get no plainer than that right there. But it says they're after God, abide upon him. You know, this is a hard saying here, but it's the truth. There is no love of God outside of his Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, it says, for all the promises of God in him, speaking of Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is our refuge in time of trouble. He is our good shepherd. He's our great shepherd. He's our chief shepherd. And what blesses my heart and the heart of his people is to know that his word is absolute truth. And we look to him always to take care of us, and he always will. And he always has. You know, even before, even when I was a young and raised up, and even when I was a rebellious teenager, and didn't want nothing to do with him, didn't want to go to church, I still a sheep. I always have been. You know, there was something that I was watching a documentary on TV the other night, and it reminded me of this right here. But there was a whole bunch of sheep, and I don't know what country it was in. It was just big old fields. And there was like 30 or 40 sheep together. And there was 5 or 6 or 7 dogs on the outside of them just laying there. They were just looking around watching. And it showed, a camera showed it, way off in the distance come a little spot. And it kept getting closer and closer. And when it got so close, 3 of them dogs, they took off like lightning. It was a wolf. And he was wanting one of them sheep. And when they got so close to him, that wolf turned tail and he ran like crazy. And them dogs, they come right back to the flock. You know, that's the way it is in the spiritual world. We have guardian angels. We have people watching over us. You know, God watches over us each and every day of our lives, you know. And I thought about that right there, you know. But that's the way it works, you know. Christ the Lord, he's not only our king. As I said, he's our shepherd. He's our representative. He's our substitute, he's our surety, and he is our Savior, our only Savior. The Bible plainly says, neighbors are salvation in any other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And in him, we have all spiritual gifts. Jesus Christ is with us in all of our troubles, our trials, the sickness, the sorrows, things that we face in this life. And God's children look to Christ, and they trust in Christ, and Christ alone. For he is the rock that we stand on, and that rock is unmovable. God's people have been cleansed from all of our sins. But because of that, it doesn't mean that we're free from the troubles and the heartaches that we suffer in this world. But regardless of what we go through, our God is on the throne. And he is absolute sovereign in all things. And bring all things to pass in our lives. What for? If it's not for a physical good, it's definitely for our eternal good. All things happen to believers by eternal purpose of our Lord and our King, Christ Jesus. And we need to remember what he says. He says here in Isaiah, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, and he will save us. You know, no one else can. Blessed is the King who is altogether lovely. And may we always ask God to give us a heart to love him and to trust him. And to always remember that regardless of what we go through in this life, that Christ is our all. He's always there, as I said before, and he always will be. For he's elect. He made peace be with us. To God, you know, I've had a niece that say, I made my peace with God. I can't make peace with God. Christ is the one that made peace with God when he hung on that cross. Christ made peace for his people. I thank the Lord for it. It says in 1 Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he is our hiding place from the winds of what? The winds of sin, and we all have it. We all have it. With sins of trouble, we all have that. Sorrow, You know, Job said, man born of a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. And if you've been around any time at all, you know that's the truth. Well, you know it's the truth anyway. It's in the Lord God's Word. But he is the only shelter from a storm of God's wrath. Only one mediator between God and man, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that satisfied the wrath of God. He is the water of life in a dry and thirsty land. A lot of times, you know, Christ is the water of life. And sometimes this can be a dry and thirsty land. Sometimes, you know, we get so close to the Lord. Or I know I do. Sometimes I feel so close to him and I talk to him all the time. And then there's times that I just feel so far away from him. But I know he's there. He always is. You know, Christ Jesus our Lord is that great rock that we stand on. It's a cried stone. And we know for sure that our Lord, he certainly was cried, wasn't he? But he is our only foundation. God's word says in Isaiah, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a cried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, one that cannot fail. It said, one that cannot fail. I want you to turn just to one more place, and I'll be finished. John 6. Very familiar scripture, but it just shows me that I'm in his hands. And regardless of myself, verse 37. I thank God. If I had to depend on myself, as I've said before, I'd fall 1,000 times a day. But in John 6, verse 37, this is our Lord Jesus Christ, our precious King, speaking. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, but of all which he hath given me, what does he say here? I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And he goes on to say in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's God's truth, and it's a blessing.